right now. It is time for our good friends up north, not that far north, actually, in South County, Massachusetts, and that is the Berkshire Edge. Of course, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com. Once again, theberkshireedge.com, but also live here on Robin Hood Radio on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. We're getting a little late start this morning. We're scrambling around to get ourselves some coffee.
Well, what's funny about that is I did a lot of work for setup for this morning, thinking that I could just come in and, but once again, one little thing happens and all of a sudden the chain breaks.
Exactly, right.
And it just ruins everything else, all your plans. Well, there is lots to talk about here on the Berkshire Edge and in the Berkshire Edge. We always just touch a fraction of the stories that are compiled on a daily basis at the Berkshire Edge.
We put up, 5 or 6 stories a day.
Yeah. So what we talk about just gives you little highlights, but there's much, much more, and it's updated, like Marcy was saying, every day. So this just gives you a little insight into what's going on in South County. We'll start off with, once again, the economic downturn and a project of the redevelopment of the Eagle Mill. But that is now in jeopardy.
Yes. David, do you want to start with this? Steve is here. Wait a second.
David.
Sorry. David, are you here?
He's coming, I think.
David?
Hello?
There he is.
There. He was just asking about the Eagle Mills.
Oh, you mean our lead item?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, apparently, that was a very big project that was that's been scaled back due to the it's the old complex in old mills in Lee, and Jeff Cohen, a developer, had these big plans for a really huge redevelopment project, and he's had to scale them back quite a bit due to the COVID epidemic. It isn't a project that's going to that's dead, but it's going to be.
But it's in jeopardy.
It's in jeopardy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not dead yet, but it is in jeopardy.
I think most projects that are in jeopardy, but maybe not the term, in turmoil. I think that is a better word.
Yeah. Turmoil?
Yeah, in turmoil. So, well, simply because they're obviously going to have to adjust these projects if they're going to be successfully done, like everybody else has had to adjust during this pandemic. So I don't like – I think that jeopardy puts a – not too much of a negative impact, even though I'll tell you what, and we'll talk about this later, Berkshire County has just taken unbelievable hits in the past.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll talk about those later. But
well, we can talk about it a little bit now, and because this is a project that is been scaled back, still, it's at least moving forward, whereas the cultural, the Berkshires depend upon a kind of massive cultural season and in the summer, and much of it's been canceled.
Well, that's why I want to go to the. We'll hop very quickly to, because we can talk about the general. I mean, Berkshire County has just lost almost all of its entertainment.
All of
its revenue, and then. You take Kripalu. That is the people that work there. They're laying off 450 workers. I mean, it's astounding. What is actually happening? And also, I forget the name of the restaurant north of Kripalu. That's up in closer to Pittsfield. They are closing to the public as well.
Meze? Meze? No.
I forget which one.
In West Stockbridge?
I don't know. It's like a big castle.
Well, there are a lot of them. Right.
It's like a big castle where you can go eat dinner and stuff like that. An old house, and it slipped my mind. But anyways, I just look at Berkshire County, and I say, this is one of the hardest hit counties, I think, in the country.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it really is.
Well, I mean, look at what is the cultural institutions that have canceled. Tanglewood, Jacob's Pillow, Shakespeare and Company, Williamstown Theater Festival. I mean, that's, you know, aside from Kripalu, which the yoga retreat, which just laid
and
off
Tanglewood.
Yeah, well, that's what
so
I just
did
said.
You mention Tanglewood?
At 450 people out of work.
And, so, you know, about $40 million contributed to the local economy there.
Yeah, right.
From Kripalu alone. And then, you know, and when you think of the ripple effect of, you know, those people, where do they eat? Where they come to, people come to Tanglewood, they eat dinner, they stay in hotels, they shop. It brings tourists here, you know.
I mean, a lot of the economy here is kind of hopes to make enough money in the summer to survive the winter. And that's not going to happen this year.
I'm talking about, I finally met Blantyre.
Blantyre, right.
I mean, I just hear all this and I say, my goodness gracious, what a rough time. I mean, we're all having a rough time, but boy, in the summertime, what a horrible, horrible situation for all the businesses and people that appreciate everything that the Berkshires have to offer. It's just unbelievable.
Well, think of it this way, though. At least you'll be able to find a parking space.
Yeah. That's exactly right. All right.
If you want to go anywhere, that's the problem.
I want to go to another story, and that is your story on the 2005 tornado, because I got to, while that tornado hit, my son was actually in the shopping center. And he called me in Great Barrington on that day.
Oh, my.
And he called me and said, Dad, there's a tornado here. Put a hole in the side of the wall. And I said, in Great Barrington? Yeah. So I went on with the news story. He was okay. It took him about 2 hours to get out of town.
Mm.
But you've got a story where you recall that 2005 tornado.
Yes, we do. It was toward the...
Was it 2005? It was 1995.
It was 19. It's 25. I'm sorry. It's 25 years.
It's
1995. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 1995. It's 25 years since it, since that tornado tore through. It came right down the Route 23, which comes from Hillsdale, New York, and it came right through this little valley, and it tore right over the fairgrounds. And tore it down, and then proceeded into Monterey, where it did a lot of damage.
It went up the hill.
Up
the mountain, right, and over the mountain.
And, in fact, you could see this path. You could look at the mountain and see its path because it, all the trees were,
down. Yeah.
It looked like a giant, you know, deforesting path. And... so the fairgrounds is, in fact, that was the end of horse racing in Great Barrington. It was quite something.
People talked about it for years.
Yeah, there, people still talk about it.
And there were a couple of deaths with one of the student and a teacher at the school out there were in a car that were caught in that. It was just an amazing thing, almost like the tornado that hit Cornwall. Years before that, the devastation was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we were watching a program on public television the other day about tornadoes, and, you know, there's almost no warning the way they form. You can't be prepared for them, and they are devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
this was one.
Yeah, it all depends where they hit, because when they hit in an area that's got a lot of stuff in it,
right.
There's very little you can do about it.
Well, listen, I remember I grew up in Ohio in what was called Tornado Alley. And I remember whenever these storms would come by, my little sister and I would sit out on the back porch and screen porch and hope to see one.
Well, you know, this story resonates with me is I was caught in that Cornwall tornado in a car with a truck in front of me. Trees came down in front and in back of us. And the only thing that saved us after it was all over, the town crew was oiling and sanding the road. So they had, thank God, they had chainsaws in the back of their trucks.
Oh, and they right. cut,
but it was just I just remember that tornado in Great Barrington.
Right.
Now you've got Bernie Drew. He's written a two-part account of I like this, the notorious members of the Berkshire 49th Regiment in the Civil War.
Bernie Drew is our local historian, and he's been writing a series of historical pieces for us on the members of a 49th Regiment in the Revolutionary War, and it's quite astonishing. And one of them, the characters that he picks out to highlight are just amazing. And I know Bernie. I've known Bernie for years, and he has a fabulous collection of clips and historical accounts that he can draw on for his articles. So they're just fabulous. And this is a sort of an amazing story.
It's the story of the first part was a description of the horrors of being war. In the Civil War.
Yeah.
But then the second part...
I'm sorry, yeah, it's a Civil War, right.
Yeah, the regiment from Great Barrington that was part of the Great Barrington's 49th Regiment Volunteers. And, that was a horrible war, hand-to-hand combat, people killing each other up close. And then the second part is, what became of the stragglers that finally made their way home? And he tells a very amusing story, really, of some of them who decided to rob a bank, which did not go well, of course.
But that's the great thing about what Bernie writes.
It's a very funny story, and people should... they should read it. We don't want to reveal it. But
what Bernie does is give you the story behind the story. There's lots of interesting plot lines that run through. Like, when you think of the Civil War, you don't think, and you think of cannonballs, you don't think of like cannon. When you shoot cannons here today, what kills you is the explosion. But in the Civil War, what they did is they shot the cannonballs and they rolled through where the other military people were. And when they rolled through at high speed, it would take legs off, arms off. The Civil War was frighteningly brutal.
Frighteningly brutal. And, if you were wounded, you were just as well as dead because they had no way of treating you. There were no, there was no anesthesia. There were no antibiotics. And so you were sure to get, to get infection and die.
Yeah, when somebody chronicles a Civil War, for a lot of people, they should look back because it was just people on the open, they sat out and picnicked and watched one of the big battles thinking that the Civil War was going to be over very, very soon.
Right.
How wrong they were.
Yeah.
All right, so now...
can we just go back because we got off to a slow start? I just want to clarify about the Eagle Mills. what is being cut back at Eagle Mills was the plan for a really wonderful food hall.
Yep.
Jeff was planning to have, lots of restaurants and interesting kinds of food and a great big food hall. And that's really what his problem is now because restaurants are, being devastated by this pandemic so he's cutting back on the food hall, which was going to take up a big space. And now the question is, what do you do with that big space? The other parts of the Eagle Mill will go on, the homes and manufacturing space and other things. But it's the big attraction of the food hall that's threatened. So we'll stay tuned for that.
And we'll see how that develops. Right. And we talked about Kripalu and that retreat. 450 workers. Are they all from the South County area? Because that's a huge. That would be a huge.
I think they're they're largely local people. Yeah.
Because that's good. You know, and unemployment figures. That's a huge unemployment hit.
Oh, huge.
That is. That is huge.
And I don't know whether we said before. You know that Steve Shepard, the economist at Williams College, estimated that Kripalu was responsible for about a $40 million injection of money into the Berkshire's economy. Which, of course, recycles throughout the economy. So, I mean, this is one among many, but it's a disaster.
Another blow.
Absolutely. Let's go to Chapter 47 here of The Account of Living in the Forests of Lennox.
Oh, this is really wonderful, and this should be seen for the photos alone.
Yes, this is Carolyn Neuberger, who's she and her husband Eli live in the forest of Lennox, just off Route 7, down right underneath the mountains, and she's been chronicling the life of the forest that's been around her. And today, her chapter 47 is about bears that have come to sample the seeds at the bird feeders that they have hanging on their porch. And she has some most amazing photos of these bears.
These bears, I mean, a mother and baby came right up onto their deck. Now, they thought their bird feeders were safe because they're hung on pulleys, on wires that, you know, where they lift them way up above the bird feeder, way up above the deck. And they figured that the bears would not be able to get anywhere near them. Well, this bear figured out how to climb up on the railing and pull on the wire and bring down the bird feeder, bring it closer, and you know, and she's got the whole thing chronicled in
photographs. And the most amazing of these bears balancing on the railing,
and these
kind of like a circus.
Even when they're small bears, they're 300 pounds, and it's amazing how they can actually be so agile. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see I live in Bear Central. I've got bear cams set up around my house, and we've got
bear cams.
I get to, and the video I get there's this 300 pound bear, but then there's like a bear that's got to be 600-700 pounds. That always comes close by my house when he's scouting the neighborhood for garbage. And it's amazing because I leave the microphones on in these things to hear them see them. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely amazing to hear them and see them.
We had one in our backyard. And
we
didn't see it. It was at night. But David had left his bird feeders up. And, you know, I heard this noise out there, and but it was night, and we really couldn't see it well. But we, you know,
we had a flashlight, so we.
Yeah.
So there he was, you know, sitting on the ground, tipping the bird feeder, the tube, into his mouth.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, he was enjoying a beer or something. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to go on to your theater critic lamenting what's going on with the stages.
Peter Bergman has, you know, he's, well, our season is
kaput.
Yes, as they say, yes. And he talks about what might have been, and it's you know, it's really sad that we're for the Berkshires, but and I wonder how some of these how these organizations are going to actually survive, since they, you know, they're kind of hand to mouth anyways, but it's
Yeah, they're gonna hopefully people will donate to them what they would have spent in tickets.
Yeah, right.
Well,
and,
hopefully.
I mean, that's that. Those are the things that you that they need to get across. It's the same for us, and basically, it's the same thing for you. I mean, we need the people that we had before who are underwriting here and advertising with you to pick up and do the same. It's the same again.
Struggling.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to go to the last story, because this story broke when we were doing our show with the Republican American. Ruth Epstein broke that finally, after 5 years, the decision came down that was in favor of the Salisbury Planning and Zoning Commission, which gives the Salisbury Planning and Zoning Commission the right to check on everything that Lime Rock does, including racing. And it's funny because I put this story up on our website, and we probably had about 75 comments on it. Nothing, no virulent comments, about 75. And out of those 75 comments, I will tell you 72 were upset, because what it means for Lime Rock Park is that in the future, all the big national races are going to Sundays. And Lime Rock Park is going to lose their three big races over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And during those three big races, they bring about 50,000 people into our area. So it's a big economic – if it develops that racing keeps going that way, it will be a big economic blow to our area.
Yeah.
But some people, of course, were obviously happy about it as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I put this on. You know, I was typing up the our menu for today, and all of a sudden this news flash came on, came over, and I thought, oh, I've got to include this, because it's a major decision for Northwest Connecticut. You know,
it is. We spoke to Skip Barber, and he said that they're going to operate the R right now as they are. The thing that they're losing is the ability to do Sunday racing. And all the worries about Sunday racing are right now preemptive worries. We don't know when they'll happen, how long it'll take it to happen for them to lose those three big events that really bring in a lot of people.
Why would they lose those? Have they been having Sunday racing?
No, but these races right now are going on Saturday.
But
they've already lost two races, but there's three big events where the races right now are on Saturdays. But these big racing organizations want to move them to Sunday. So we'll see how hard they push on that. If that happens, that's disastrous for the economy in our region. If it doesn't happen, everything can go along all right. So there's a lot of unanswered questions in this Lime Rock battle between.
And even in the middle of this pandemic at the same time. Yeah,
it's, you know, you look at it, Lime Rock has already lost the first half to three quarters of what they were going to put on. Right now they're they're hopefully going to get two or three events in, and we'll see what happens. But once again, like you said, it's almost like the Berkshires. You get a pandemic this summer where all the businesses who need to make hay during the summer have had all this problem, and now you include Lime Rock in it as well. So what's going on in South County also is going on here in Litchfield County.
And I wonder, you know, where people are saying, well, we'll have an abbreviated season. But I wonder if that's, if it's even worth it to do that.
In some places it can be. Like the Sharon Playhouse, it's a mall playhouse. They can do some things out in their parking lot and have some fun with it. And maybe if the CDC approves everything, put a couple shows on in August and September. But you have to be small and nimble to do that. And Sharon Playhouse is unique where they can do that. So.
Yeah, and Barrington Stage is doing that here, and the Berkshire Theater Festival is also thinking of doing stuff in August.
And Shakespeare and Company can, you know, they already do things outside. So
maybe
they're not planning anything.
Yeah, I know, they're not planning anything.
All right.
But you know, the Lime Rock question, I actually am surprised at the support for Lime Rock that you're describing, because we kept hearing that, you know, the town of Salisbury was very much opposed to, you know, that it would be so noisy that the churches can't operate, and of course Music Mountain was very much opposed.
Well, now, if you actually sent somebody out and did a poll, like I could see from my thing, everybody thinks that this is bad. Not everybody. I'll say 70 65 to 70% of the people that surround the track, not in Lakeville, because the track might be located in Salisbury, but it affects every business within it, like a 25 to 50 mile radius, because it brings in so many people. So that's where the diversion
comes
in. There's
a difference in opinion.
But we are out of time here.
Already?
Oh
my goodness.
We had a lot to talk about. So the BerkshireEdge.com is the location, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We'll speak
when you say that, I'm thinking, oh, that's right.
That's true. When he says that, it means get to work.
That's right.
That's what it means. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
We'll speak to you. We'll speak to you next week.
Be safe, you guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
That is the BerkshireEdge.com, the Berkshire Edge on Robin Hood Radio.